I came across a chapter in a book, chapter 40, that Ingo Swann wrote.
Yes. Oh, she and Ingo were very, very close.
Yeah, it seemed that she mentored him.
Yep.
And that he sought her counsel. He said that she, for tutoring, and
He
went to her when, you know, he was puzzled about something, which I thought was, that was new to me. She never told me that.
It would have been a kick for me, Dorothy, had she still been alive. And as you know, she died under very strange circumstances.
She certainly did.
To have interviewed her on this program about her work, and I think I would have got a kick out of that.
I can't imagine her not listening to your show, George, because she would have loved it. She would have just absolutely loved it. And she'd probably be, you know,
cringing,
dancing you all the time, telling you something. But I think that she would love the course your life has taken, and it certainly is along the lines of her own interests.
You knew her better than I did in her life. I got to know her well toward the end of her life as I was getting into the broadcasting field and things like that.
Uh-huh.
But I was always interested in the supernatural and the paranormal and the unusual. And when she switched gears with her psychiatry practice and decided to study ESP and telepathy, uh-huh. You know, that's when I kicked it into high gear. And it was my mother and father. Now, she's related to us on my father's side, not my mother's side.
Okay.
But it was my mother who used to tell me about her and what she was into. And I said, you got to be kidding me. So, you know, we started to talk a lot. And then she died,
right.
Which was very unsettling. But I remember one night they were all upset. And they told me that she had died. But then they said how. And, of course, it's, you know, the what we had always heard was a radio fell into her bathtub when she was taking a bath. And I found that to be bizarre and weird.
I can't even imagine. She was such a careful, meticulous
person. Yes, she was, and she knew better.
She wouldn't have had a radio anywhere near water.
She knew better.
In my opinion.
But we did hear stories of her thinking that her work was being watched by others.
Right.
And her friends' work.
Oh, they knew that they were being watched, and you know, they had private classes. I met them through a lecture series that she and Dr. Neal. And for your audience, I don't know if they really know very much about your aunt, but she was a surgeon, neurologist, psychiatrist who taught at, you know, in New York, taught medicine, and she did private research. She worked with a very famous doctor by the name of Tenfield in Canada, you know, around 1950-something.
Sure did.
And that work was so advanced that you can imagine that was almost 60 years ago. And they were keeping a patient awake during surgery, opening up the skull and connecting minute electrodes to the tissue of the brain. And these patients had problems with epilepsy, frontal lobe epilepsy, and hallucinations and all kinds of things, seizures. And they would, you know, one electrode at a time to find out just exactly what area of the brain was triggering that seizure so that a large portion of the brain, which is what they were doing at the time, would not be removed, just that little place that triggered the seizure. And so this was, you know, and she was the psychiatrist on staff talking to each patient who was still awake during the surgery.
Well, and you know,
it was just amazed me.
When she switched into the area of ESP, most of our family thought she was nuts. They thought something had happened to her. They couldn't understand how this degreed medical doctor who came from Europe would switch like this. But they didn't understand her passion for it.
No, and I think that she was so highly intelligent and gifted herself, which she was private about. And she really could, she was kind of a futurist. She saw things coming, and the research was more important than her reputation, the salary, you know, the prestige, and everything else. And when she, I think it was after teaching that Penfield came, and then she was teaching, and then she went to California to visit one of her, a teacher of hers who taught her I think it was the sciences and mathematics, when she was a girl in Beirut, Lebanon. Lebanon.
Yep.
Am I saying that correctly?
Yep. Beirut, Lebanon.
Beirut, Lebanon.
Yep.
And that was Dr. Viola Pettit Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Neal also taught in Egypt. And Dr. Neal had, she wasn't a psychiatrist, but she had a degree in psychology and ancient languages and a PhD, I believe, in psychology and also physics. She was the most otherworldly person I have ever met, and I think she was your aunt's favorite subject.
Yeah.
And that was what caused her to, but Dr. Neal didn't want anybody to know that she was a high-level clairvoyant, that she had all these gifts. Only your aunt did she confide that to,